the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hi, everybody. Chad Millman will be joining us in 10 minutes. First, though, fake questions, real answers, things I want to talk about. But I made up the question, so I got to talk about him and not wait for you to ask me him. Dear Colin, how the hell did all the reporters and media in the Green Bay area not know that Aaron Rodgers was unvaccinated? Well, it's a great question. Are you doing journalism or advocacy? Are you there to report or there to protect? How do people in the Green Bay media, not one, didn't know he had to miss some quarterback meetings? Did they not find out he was following protocols for unvaccinated players? The advantage to being local media is access, right? That's the difference between local and national. You're there every day. There's a certain responsibility to have things, get it right, and be journalists, not advocates. Years ago, I was very critical of Aaron Rodgers based on 2 to 3 sources that had played for them. I got great pushback from the Green Bay and the Wisconsin media. Have I not been right? The one thing local media should always beat us on is these day-to-day stories where you have access because you're at practice, because you have relationships with players. How did nobody know in the Green Bay media? You're at every practice. You have conversations with players daily. This is not always the case. In Philadelphia, talk radio, local TV stations, the Philadelphia Inquirer, are constantly breaking stories on the Eagles, positive and negative. It's not the case in Dallas. Between the Dallas Morning News and the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, the local television reporters in Dallas are sensational at breaking Cowboy news. Sometimes I think the smaller the market, the more collegiate the coverage, and that reporters are afraid of losing a press pass or access if they're negative. Let's get out of advocacy and get back into reporting. Dear Colin, did you like Odell Beckham Sr. getting involved in his son's business by posting those videos of his son being wide open? No, I always think it's a problem when the family gets involved. I mean, let me ask you, when's the last time a family member got involved and it really worked out well? Aisha Curry, Steph's wife, blaming the refs during the 2016 NBA Finals. LaVar Ball and the Lakers. Colby Rasmus's dad blasting Tony La Russa and the Cardinals for trading him. Listen, my wife's not on social media. There is a reason my wife is not on social media. Patrick Mahomes' family in recent weeks. It's a really bad look for Patrick Mahomes. I don't like what Odell Beckham Sr. did. I think it was really poor judgment. And my guess is OBJ asked him to do it, to force his way out, and the Browns didn't cave. Dear Colin, LeBron is expected to miss a week with a slight injury. Seems like he's getting hurt more and more often. How concerned should the Lakers be? Listen, we all know the Lakers championship with LeBron and AD, they got a huge pandemic break. Brittle AD and old LeBron got a nearly 4-month hiatus in the middle of a season. If you look at the last 4 years of Anthony Davis, he can't make it through a season. He certainly can't make it through a season plus the playoffs and the intensity there. We also know LeBron is now well into 60,000 minutes of playing. Usually, the point where athletes start to get more injuries is 40 to 45,000 minutes played. LeBron's at 60,000 minutes. I don't believe LeBron and AD's championship days have any tarmac left. I think they got a huge break during the pandemic and the bubble and a big hiatus in the middle of it. I think they'll be good. But folks, the resumes are clear. LeBron's old, AD's brittle. Dear Colin, you're getting a lot of pushback for saying you want one loss Alabama in the playoffs, but you don't want unbeaten Cincinnati getting in. What do people so wildly fail to understand about college football? Here's what I always hear. It's not fair. Can I ask you a question? Is it fair that Cincinnati, the Bearcats, play on the road in front of 35,000 people, and Alabama has to play on the road in front of 80 to 100,000 people? Is it fair that Alabama goes on the road in the SEC and regularly faces teams with a dozen NFL players on the roster, and that Cincinnati often faces teams with none? Is it fair that the coaching staffs in the SEC are the highest paid, and you often get the very best coaching staffs as opponents week in and week out, and that it's very possible that Luke Fickell is easily the best coach in the conference he's in? And not only that, they may never face a coach in their conference that is good enough to be a head coach in the SEC. That's not fair either. There are certain truths in America that people just don't want to hear. Like, rich people are mostly smarter and work harder. You do realize they're not born into it. 79% of millionaires did not inherit any money. 16% inherited more than 100 grand, but only 3% received an inheritance above $1 million. Smart and hard work is generally how you get rich. People love to defend mom and pop stores, but Amazon, Starbucks are simply more efficient at getting me a product at a better price than a local mom and pop store. Do you really think Cincinnati is one of the best four teams in the country? Do you really think they would beat Alabama head-to-head? It's not fair they get their schedule and Alabama has theirs. How's that for fairness? Okay, Chad Millman, CCO Action Network. So I went 3-2 on my Blazing Five last week. I had Buffalo. I called the Patriots over the Chargers. And I had the Saints giving Tom Brady, once again, he's their kryptonite, trouble. So we had a good week. And I thought I had a great pick in the Colts over the Titans, but a left-handed pass from the end zone screwed me, and that's life, and that's Carson Wentz, and he's reckless, and he basically torpedoed the season. But nonetheless, I'm in a great mood. So that left-handed pass just, and then in overtime, he made an even more regrettable throw, and I'm like, oh God, it's some of these players. He's Darnold with more talent. You're just going to get one of those throws a weekend. It's just the way it is.
When he goes back, because look, you were invested in the Colts. I was invested in the Colts. Loved the Colts last weekend. Couple fluke plays there, right? The guy getting the interception, running it back, grabbing his hammy, falling to the ground. The Titans get the ball back. They drive. It's 14-14. But in that overtime, when Carson Wentz dropped back, I thought to myself, this is terrible. And as soon as he did that, it was picked. I'm like, that's it. And that was probably, like, for me, one of my biggest bets of the year. It hurt so much. Like, everything about that was lined up right. And even more than the Vikings, which was also pretty painful. But you know what, Colin? You live and learn, and you move on to the next week. We're professionals. That's what
so,
we do.
I like the Ravens -6 this week. Here's why. My theory has always been well-coached, talented teams that get humiliated, especially at home, play well the next week. The Ravens got thumped by the Bengals. They've been very focused. And Minnesota, let's be honest here, I think there's a little turmoil inside this organization. Mike Zimmer, I don't know if he's long for the job. Kirk Cousins just got beat by Cooper Rush. I don't know if there's buy-in in the locker room. The Ravens now are in a dogfight for the playoffs. Pittsburgh playing better than we thought. Cincinnati just thumped them. I'm going to take the Ravens with extra time to prep to thump the Vikings square or sharp.
It's completely down the middle. And I don't like to equivocate on these because I like to give you a direct answer. But yeah. I have heard both sides of this, and the way the number has moved has shown that it's on both sides. What's interesting about the NFL now, Colin, is that the number 6 has become as much of a key number as the number 7. Remember, it used to be games they'd tend to land on 3, 7, and 10. Now they land on 3, 4, 6, 7, and 10. Because of the extra point, because of the 2-point conversion, those things come into play much more often. So 6 is where this number has been bouncing around. It was at 5.5. It went up to 6. It went up to 6.5. The wise guys bet the Vikings at 6.5. They bet it down to 6. Now it's back at 6. And so everyone's been bouncing around. I'm with you on the Ravens. I think for all the reasons you said, The one thing that everyone says the Vikings should be able to do is defend against a running quarterback like Lamar Jackson. But this is a team that everyone keeps saying the Vikings should do X. The Vikings should be X. And all we see them do is lose in really, really bad situations that are advantageous to them. That last second loss to the Cardinals, that last second loss to the Bengals, that loss this week to the Cowboys. Like, it's, there's a pattern there where they're having a hard time figuring out who they are and closing out games on the road against a rested team that has something to prove. I'm going to go with the Ravens. You're sharp.
I'm going to take, and the number is 3.5, and Christian McCaffrey is practicing, but I'm going to take the Patriots -3.5. It's not one of my favorite bets at all, but there's something to remember. This is why I took the Patriots over Justin Herbert. How old is Darnold? Under 25. In fact, he's like 23, and Belichick owns quarterbacks under 25. McCaffrey may play, but here's an issue with the Panthers. Carolina does not have a single receiver. And I talked to this recently with Greg Olson. Robbie Anderson's fast, okay? They don't really have a receiver. They have to scheme all of them open. And so it makes it difficult for Sam Darnold. This is not a team where people are open. Sam, last week, was efficient, not spectacular. But if you look at the 4 or 5 times Belichick has faced Darnold, and I've told you cognitively, I think the game moves too fast for Sam. New England is healthy. They're not making mistakes. They're winning time of possession. I do not trust Darnold. It's not a great play, but I'm betting momentum in the Patriots, and I'm betting against Darnold in this space.
And you're betting sharp, like, yeah, a square. 100% betting like a square. This is the game that every single professional bettor is targeting. This is a really good defense. The Patriots are taking advantage in the market. They are inflated in the market because they beat a Chargers team that has a really, really, really bad defense. The week before, they beat a Jets team that has a really, really, really bad defense. The teams they've lost to, the Dolphins, who still have a good defense, the Saints, who have a great defense, the Cowboys, who have an opportunistic defense, the Bucs, who have an opportunistic front four, all right? The Panthers are better than all of those defenses. And what the Panthers can do that a lot of other teams can't do is they can rush the passer without having to blitz. And what that's been doing is making their defensive backfield one of the best defensive backfields in the league. And we saw it get even better with Stephon Gilmore coming back last week. And by the way, I don't know that Darnold is going to play because of the concussion protocols. And so you might get PJ Walker. If you get PJ Walker, I'm fine with that, because the Patriots linebackers are not very athletic. So you've got an opportunity to get a running quarterback who can get outside the pocket and probably find an edge against some linebackers who can't keep up with him. One more thing, Shaq Thompson coming back, another legitimate weapon on defense. This might be one of the most challenging fronts that Mac Jones faces all season, that he's faced up to this point in the season. I'm getting the Panthers at 3.5. Like, come on. I'm getting a home team and the hook and all the bets coming in on the road team that is overinflated. Colin, you know better.
Okay. This week marks the halfway point to the NFL season. There is a big Sunday afternoon matchup. Packers-Kansas City. FanDuel Sportsbook. About to make it even bigger. They're giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. You can win $150 on a $5 bet. The current line is Packers +7.5. I trust Jordan Love to keep it close. I don't think Kansas City's that good. I would take the Packers +7.5. I even think Aaron Jones will rush for over 100 yards. The number one rated sportsbook app, it's FanDuel. Sign up now, promo code Colin. Packers take on Kansas City. Win $150 on a $5 bet. Use the promo code Colin exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I like the Packers, and I like Aaron Jones to have a big Sunday. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona. My favorite bet of the week is Bengals minus 2.5. Major distraction week for Cleveland. Cincinnati embarrassed losing to the Jets. The Browns defense is, I think, underrated still, because we pay so much attention to the offense, but they don't take the ball away. And I look at a very focused Bengals team. I think they have an edge at quarterback. I think they have a significant advantage at skill positions. And I think Cleveland's offense is broken. I mean, ask yourself. They have a top five defense, maybe the best offensive line, one of the top running games, and they can't score. Their offense is broken. Cincinnati's not. I like Cincinnati minus 2.5 to win by about a touchdown, sharper square.
Here's what's interesting about sports betting. Every single week, there's probably 6, 7, 8 games that everyone who knows anything about sports betting zeroes in on, right? We just talked about a couple of them. We talked about the Panthers. I bet we're going to talk about a couple others later. This is one of those games. And so, as you know, when we do the Favorites podcast with professional bettor Simon Hunter, we'll do it on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, we'll do the segment called Sharp Calls, where I will say to Simon, okay, you got calls from your wise guy buddy this week and all of his buddies. And by the way, like, he gets legit calls. Like, if I mentioned the bettors that call him, you would know all of them. They are like, and not because they're famous, it's because you're connected to Vegas. You would know who these guys are. They're running big money. They always call them and say, this is what you're getting right. This is what we think. This is what we agree with. We love the Bengals. Simon and I both. It makes perfect sense. This was the game that most people called them and said, we love the Browns. I'm with you. This makes perfect sense. A short home favorite that just came off of a bad spot, that has the better quarterback, that has more talent on the outside. It makes perfect sense. The reason some of the wise guys like the Browns is because they do like the pass rush, and they do like the fact that Kevin Stefanski basically said, Odell Beckham, we're done with you. You're not good for the team. I don't care how talented you are. And that gives people confidence. But it makes zero sense to me that you're betting on a team that isn't as talented as the home team that is getting less than a field goal. You're sharp. I'm sharp. Simon is sharp.
All right. I like the Falcons plus 6 at the Saints. It's a division rival. Michael Thomas will not play. Now we've seen video of Trevor Siemian. Taysom Hill's coming off a concussion. These guys, by the way, may be sharing snaps. Neither's good enough to share snaps. This is a pop gun offense and a great defense. I think it's a close game. I think the Saints win, but I think 6 is way too many points to give the better quarterback division game. Now, without Calvin Ridley, it's not the same offense. I like the under on this, but 6 points in a division rivalry with a competent quarterback feels like way too many points here.
Well, now I just feel like I'm talking to a wise guy. A couple things. Number one, the under. This is a really low total. It's 41, and that doesn't correlate to having a number as high as plus 6. So
that's right.
It doesn't make any sense. The bookmakers are basically telling you they're overinflating on the side because they really think this is going to be a close game. And this is a massive, massive letdown spot for the Saints. Number one, you just mentioned it, Taysom Hill, Trevor Siemian. Who's it going to be? Does it really matter? Should the Saints, with either third string or fourth string quarterbacks, be 6-point favorites to anybody at this point? Probably not, right? And so that's number one. Number two, the Saints in these spots with Sean Payton are not very good, all right? Over his career, 22, 32, and one against the spread in this spot. That's 42%, right? This is a team in New Orleans. They closed at as 5-point favorites against Seattle. They won by just 3. Against Carolina, they were favored by more than a field goal and lost. Is the market overreacting to Ridley being out and a really ugly loss to the Panthers? Possibly. But to me, this is like power rated at about 4. You're getting 2 points of value here. So yes, yes, please. The Falcons plus 6.
I like huge, the Bears plus 6.
Pros, but by the way, sorry about that. Huge pros Joe's game. The public loves the Saints. The pros love the Falcons.
I'm going to take the Bears plus 6 against the Steelers. Despite Pittsburgh's win at Cleveland, you come off a big emotional divisional rivalry game and a big win for the Steelers. Natural letdown. You go home against the Chicago Bear team. And as Greg Cosell told us this week, Justin Fields is getting there. This is a good Bears defense. This remains an anemic Pittsburgh offense. This is simply too many points. This game has a 24-20, 23-20 feel to it. I think there's value on the Bears side. I think their defense, I think you have two excellent defenses and two offenses struggling to find an identity. That's just too many points. I like the Bears and the points.
Yeah, this is a pass basically for everyone I spoke to about this game. Like, there's no edge. If you like this game, it's because you decided you're buying in on Justin Fields. As a Bears fan, my one issue with this is that I don't think the Bears coaches are very good play callers. I don't think that they're going to put him in a position to succeed. And I do think that the one thing he has been terrible at is playing against the pass rush. And that to me is the biggest fear, because the Steelers have a pretty fierce pass rush. And when Justin Fields has come, people coming to his face, he just has not been making good decisions. So for me, and I think for the wise guys, there's no real edge here. And even in the market, the way the numbers are shaping up, you're not seeing anything. Literally, the bets are 50-50. So you're not seeing anything that indicates one edge over the other.
I like the Packers. FanDuel has it at 7.5 at Kansas City. Nobody has seen Jordan Love. He is Bigfoot. We have grainy footage about a year ago. So Kansas City's got a bad defense and has no idea what they're getting. There could be RPO elements. Nobody knows except Green Bay. This is a very good running game. Devontae Adams is back. To me, I think you have to be fairly tentative, not aggressive, when you face Jordan Love. This is a wild card game. Green Bay, missing 11 starters, I know they had Aaron, went to the desert and pushed around Arizona. I think they went in the trenches. 7.5 is too much. I like Green Bay, sharper square.
Sharp play right there, Colin. I think there's been an overreaction in the market to Aaron Rodgers being out. What you're seeing is basically a 9-point swing in the point spread. Quarterbacks are always going to be worth more than anybody else. If you've got a player other than a quarterback who's worth 1.5 points, that is a massive move. You've got quarterbacks, you're going to get Aaron Rodgers, you're going to get Tom Brady. We saw it with Russell Wilson and Geno Smith. The lines move 7 to 10 points. So this is a 9-point swing. You got to take the Packers here. It's too much of a move in the market. And I think the wise guys are all going to look at this and they're going to say, I got to do it. We talked about it today in the favorites. Like, you're just going to have to take the Packers. You're going to have to hold your nose, take the Packers, because that's where the value is.
Everybody has something that drives them crazy, right? And, you know, like, I could never date a woman that was a chain smoker. Like, it just, I can't do it. I couldn't do those smoke. That's not a personality quirk. The only personality quirk with guys that is a non-starter for me is needy or high-maintenance guys. I can't do it. You're a grown-up. I'm not here. Get a therapist. Like, if you have a crisis, I'm there for you. But you can't have one a week. Can we be honest about this? Aaron Rodgers is really high-maintenance. Jesus, every week it's something.
So this brings it all together. Aaron Rodgers, the year began, they said, the media asked him, are you vaccinated? He said, I'm immunized. Nobody pushed him on it. Nobody said, are you vaccinated? They just sort of let it go. To this day, Is he vaccinated? Is he not vaccinated? What does it mean to be immunized? I feel like that's a singular question that got pushed under the rug because he felt like he could play everybody and nobody pushed him on it. And now we're looking at Aaron Rodgers, who's going to be out for at least one game, possibly two games, impacting his team, impacting people who bet the Packers to have the best record, impacting people who bet the Packers to go to the NFC title game. There's like major ramifications here.
Oh, huge.
No idea what the real story is there.
Well, he will come back at the earliest on Saturday before facing the Seahawks. That's a tough ask. If they lose to Kansas City and Seattle, this is the heart of their toughest portion of their schedule. They could lose home field advantage to the Rams, Arizona, or Tampa. I mean, forget the momentum that has potentially been punctured. The idea that you go from playing at Lambeau in January to playing in Tampa, a warm weather team having to go, dome teams don't do well in January in Lambeau, Arizona, Los Angeles. Warm weather teams don't do well in Lambeau, Tampa. You have three warm weather teams or dome teams would have played in Lambeau. Like, do we understand what happened here?
It's big.
It's big. By the way, Dallas, mostly a warm weather franchise, plays indoors, go up to Lambeau. Though you couldn't have picked teams outside of maybe Atlanta that would be less prepared to the weather disadvantage than they possibly were going to gain.
Selfish.
So I want to take the Chargers -1.5 at the Eagles. The Eagles are a wildly inconsistent team, whereas the Chargers are actually fairly consistent but limited. We look at them and we think, how they lost to the Cowboys. Well, that's a pretty good team. Well, they lost to the Patriots. Well, that's a pretty good team. I think the Chargers are a more talented team, but they're a flawed team. I don't think Philadelphia, one of the things to know about Philadelphia, opposing quarterbacks are having really good Sundays and Thursdays and Mondays. A passer rating, one of the highest passer ratings in the league are quarterbacks facing Philadelphia. So I think the Chargers -1.5 off a disappointing loss is the play here, sharp or square?
I would have said sharp, except there were some reports yesterday that Justin Herbert's hand is injured. There were more reports today from inside the Wise Guy Whisper Network that the injury is potentially more debilitating than is being reported. And so a lot of Wise Guys started betting on the Eagles today. The line had gotten up to 2.5. And by midday, it had been bet down to 2. I'm looking right now, it's still, and there are some places now where it's down to 1.5. So you're starting to see, even though there's a preponderance of bets on the Chargers, almost 80% of the bets are on the Chargers, you're seeing the line move in the other direction. That tells me that the Wise Guys are coming in on the Eagles, and that could be because there's some speculation or concern about Justin Herbert's hand.
All right, what's the game I haven't mentioned that you have a strong feel for?
That's always a fun one, right? We talked about the Browns. We talked about the Chargers, Panthers, Falcons. San Francisco 49ers. How have we not talked about the San Francisco 49ers? I love Kyle Shanahan. I know you think highly of Kyle Shanahan as a coach. Right now, the Arizona Cardinals, still the team that everyone thinks is the one to beat. But don't forget, like, Cliff Kingsbury as a coach generally falls off the freaking cliff when it comes to November. He did it when he had Patrick Mahomes as his coach at Texas Tech. So now all of a sudden, you've got a Cardinals team where you've got DeAndre Hopkins, who is nursing a hamstring injury. You've got A.J. Green, who's in the COVID protocols. You've got Kyle Murray, who's walking around in a walking boot.
And has not practiced.
You've got George Kittle coming back. You've got the 49ers as healthy as they have been all season. You've got an Arizona run defense that is second worst in the NFL on yards per rush at 4.9. J.J. Watt was their best rush defender. He's done. This line opened at 1. It's been bet up to 1.5. It's now in some places, the Niners are 2-point favorites, and all of the bets are coming in on the Cardinals. That tells you that the Niners are the right side from a sharp perspective for all the reasons I just listed.
Now, you know I don't like big favorites, but I took the Buccaneers against the Bears. I was right. Mm-hmm. I took the Bills against the Dolphins. I was right, albeit barely. The one big number I was interested in this week is Dallas -9.5 hosting Denver. Denver makes a big trade. I think that has a negative effect on the locker room. When the Texans moved off Mark Ingram, look how bad the Texans looked against the Rams. Part of me thinks that Von Miller move is a season's done. I would take Dallas here -9.5. I know it's a big number, but I still think they're undervalued. Two teams in the NFL. Last 20 bets, Chiefs are 5-15 against the spread. They're overvalued. We can't unsee their spectacular nature the last 2 years. We also can't unsee Dallas disappointing us for 15 to 20 years. They've hit, 7-0 against the spread. I think Dallas blows them out. That's probably the big game I'd go with, sharp or square.
It's really hard to get sharps behind a big number. It's really hard to get sharps behind a Dallas Cowboys team that has yet to lose against the spread. And by the way, they didn't lose against the spread when they went from being about 2.5-point favorites to being 3-point underdogs. Like, they still covered against the spread. This is a great stat for you. Since 1990, there have been two teams that have started the season 8-0 against the spread. 2007, New England Patriots. 2021, Dallas Cowboys. 8-0. Kansas City, 2018, went 7-0. Tennessee, 2008, went 7-0. So you have to ask yourself, does Dallas continue to have these sort of opportunistic moments, or is there a regression to the mean? And really, is there a regression on them continuing to cover against the spread? If you're a good team, the expectation is you go like 10-6, this year 11-6 against the spread. The Cowboys are trending so high against the spread that you almost have to start betting against them just because there's going to be that kind of regression.
I know, but it's a different year.
It's a totally different year. And it's just, so these guys, it's target practice out there for quarterbacks and receivers. And the Cowboys actually are playing incredibly well on defense. And so from a sort of chase the ball perspective, right? From a creating turnovers perspective. And even then, the Broncos have been anemic offensively. So I can't hate on it. I'm just saying it's not like a sharp play.
All right. That was pretty good. These are FanDuel numbers, by the way. Am I supposed to say that or not? I don't even know. I really don't know. Sometimes I got a lot of people, a lot of mouths to feed.
You do. That's what happens.
You know, today, though, I got home, I worked out, and I went and bought a dozen cigars. And I do this about once a week. And I make myself once a week smoke a cigar, contemplate life, and be grateful for my life. And it was today, as I said to myself, you had a winning, blazing 5 week. Things are going well. The stock market's up. And so I'm very grateful. I will be more grateful if I have another winning week on Blazing 5. But I got to be honest with you. Right now, despite the fact that your son broke his leg, in a weird way, that means he may not have as much fun as a freshman in college. And you could be actually, the positive spin on this is you may have gotten him out of trouble.
Listen, I don't know if it was possible for anybody to be having more fun. I feel so bad for the kid that like he's being taken out of his social life for the next 4, 6, 8 weeks, whatever it is. But my question is, don't you say to yourself every day how grateful you are? Like, Today I had to go to the doctor's office, right? And I had an appointment and she was taking my blood pressure. And she said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm great." And like, she goes, I go, "How you doing?" She goes, "I got a job. My car started. I got a house." I'm like, it doesn't take that much to be happy. Like, how could you not be grateful every day? You should be doing this at least once a day, not once a week.
Well, it's funny. This is, you know, I've said this before. The media covers plane crashes, not plane landings. So the media, by and large, is pursuing and seeking bad news.
Yep.
And I do think it's important. Sometimes I just shut my phone off because the media is, nobody cares about plane landings. So I do think there is value sometimes turning off the news and social media, and it does make me happier. You ever lose your phone for like 6 hours and you're like, oh, life was fine. I really got through it. I had a cupcake. I napped, and it's like, you know, I didn't look at Drudge Report for 6 hours or Huffington Post. I'm good.
Listen, I could go for hours on how irresponsible I feel like the headlines have been, and I am not a media basher in any way, but I do think the coverage of COVID, the coverage of politics, the coverage of just about anything that is not hard news, that isn't something that is a fact that is verifiable and proven, right? But the way things are perceived about COVID, the way things are perceived about politics, you read a headline, it is specifically designed to incite you. And I don't care if it's in the New York Times or Fox News. They're both guilty of it. And they both do it and they both play to their audiences. And I know they can say we're fair and balanced. I know they can say, you know, that's not how we play it. But you read the headline and then you read the story and that's what happens. And it's astonishing to the point where I can't even read the news anymore because it's so frustrating to see the how everything is framed.
All right, buddy. Good seeing you.
See you, brother.
That's Chad Millman at The Volume Sports. Please go to our YouTube page and subscribe. We really appreciate it if you subscribe. There's a lot of good stuff on there. Also, Instagram, rate, review, subscribe. Follow us on Twitter, too. Want to thank everybody who supports The Volume. J-Boy, Jenkins and Jones, Chris Mannix, John Middlecoff all had record months. You don't care about that. I do. But I do appreciate you following us. I got to tell you something. I'm going to sleep on that Bengals-Browns pick. I'm going to sleep on that. I really love the Bengals, and I think Millman just talked me out of it. God, I hate when he does that. Talk soon.
The Volume.